Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the New Testament in the Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I'll be your tour guide through this scripture today as we read Hebrews chapter 13. We're wrapping up the letter to Hebrews, so grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's word together. So Hebrews 13. Here we go. The final chapter of this letter to these Jewish converts to Christianity, with the encouragement to stay the course, to not drift away, to stay strong in your faith despite the trials, the difficulties that will come your way. Last chapter, in chapter 12, we looked at the scripture as it encouraged us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus being the pioneer, being the perfecter of faith, who endured the cross for the joy that he set before us. And in the previous chapter, we read that just as athletes, as runners, take off every weight that clings to them to keep, to hold them back, that hinders them from running the race, we are called to run with endurance, to remove all the sin that clings to us so closely, and to look at Jesus as that ultimate example. The chapter ended with a reminder of the godly discipline to those he loves, and the reason why we should strive for peace, strive for holiness, and live lives that are defined by reverence and awe of God. And now today, in the final chapter, as we transition to 13, we're going to see practical instructions for Christian living again. And so here's some look-fors that we have today in chapter 13. Our first look-for is this concept of hospitality and compassion. So the author gives emphasis to showing hospitality to strangers. He encourages believers to remember those that are in prison and those that have been mistreated. And the author highlights then marriage and the importance of the sanctity of marriage and not defiling the marriage bed and how important that is. The second takeaway is contentment. The concept of contentment, to be content and trust in God that he's providing your needs. Watch how in this chapter the scripture is going to lay out for us. We're told that believers should be content with what they have. We're reminded to trust in God's promises and to be confident in his faithfulness. And then there's a warning against being led away by various teachings, different teachings, and that's going to come our way by false doctrine, by those that might have the gift of the golden tongue but aren't grounded in the scripture, and therefore we can easily be led away. And so we have a call to stand firm in the grace of Christ and nothing else. And then finally, our last takeaway is this highlight of submitting to spiritual leaders, this spiritual authority. And it's important in the structure of the church that was designed ultimately by Jesus. We're told in Scripture to look for those spiritual leaders in your life, those past spiritual leaders, present, those people in your life that you should imitate them and pray for them. And notice the reference to Jesus suffering outside the camp, calling believers to go to him outside the camp and bear reproach for his name. Notice all that. In the scripture we read today, we'll see that, and then we'll see the scripture wrapped up with this powerful benediction It's one of my favorite in all of Scripture. In the benediction, you're going to see God be identified as the God of peace. And this God of peace who brought up from the dead Jesus. And Jesus is reminded, we are reminded that Jesus is this great shepherd who protects the flock, leads us to green pastures and by still waters, keeps us together, that great shepherd. And we're told that we're going to be equipped with everything good to do his will. Notice that at the end of our reading today. Okay, so let's begin our scripture reading today as we wrap up Hebrews with Hebrews 13. We'll go verse 1 all the way to verse 25. Let's read together. Verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated, as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Marriage is to be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterers. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Therefore, we may boldly say, and then the author references Psalm 18, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And then he goes on, verse 7. Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be established by grace, not by food regulations, since those who observe them have not benefited. We have an altar from which those who worship at the tabernacle do not have a right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the gate, so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. Well, let us then go to him outside the camp and bearing his disgrace. We do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one to come. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. And I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. And then he gives his benediction in verse 20. And now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. In verse 22, he says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to receive this message of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. If he comes soon, he will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who are from Italy, send your greetings. Grace be with you all. And that is the reading of Hebrews 13 and the wrapping up of the entire letter to Hebrews. Let's take a moment now to reflect on what we just read and find some application in our lives. All right. And so the beginning of what we read today in 13, the author reminded us to practice hospitality, but not just any kind of hospitality as others. I think it's fair to call it this radical hospitality. You know, we live in a world that is filled with division and so much hostility that the call for us to be hospitable to strangers is a really powerful testament to the love of Jesus. We have such reluctance out of fear, out of maybe selfishness, or even a lack of trust that God is going to utilize what we do to help them, whatever it may be. Far too many times we put on blinders and go through our lives and not find ways to be hospitable to strangers. That's a broad term. But let's actively seek out opportunities to show kindness, to extend kindness, to get uncomfortable and show compassion to those around us in ways that maybe we haven't before. Even more to those that are, I guess, marginalized is the way, those that are in need. Whether it is inviting someone to your home or even offering a listening ear to them. Whatever that looks like, showing love to strangers, to those in need. Isn't that the love of Christ? Let's embody that through our actions today. Second takeaway is that we need to find contentment in Christ alone. Not the things of this world. Not the material things that we probably have enough of, may seek more, or that maybe that we have more or as much as our peers. See, in a culture that just constantly just bombards us with messages about you should not be satisfied, you need more, you need to be better, you need improvement, you're not good enough, and if you get this product or you do this thing, you will be better. That's the ultimate message of all advertisement, that life is better if you have this product. However, true contentment is not found in material possessions or even worldly achievements. Positions. True contentment is found in Christ alone. In Christ alone. And if we can work on, build up, cultivate a spirit of gratitude and trust that God is enough, and know that He is faithful to meet all of our needs, we will be an overabundance of our needs according to His riches in glory. It's a mind shift. It's a heart change. The things of this world are temporary and will burn. Will be gone. Our faith and our love and the treasures stored in heaven and our hearts are eternal. Contentment is in Christ alone. And finally, our last takeaway is that we should follow spiritual leaders with humility. You know, as believers, we're called to submit to those who have spiritual authority as the structure of the church is laid out, and there is clear purpose in that. But not just submitting to, but imitating their faith, praying for them, for they will be held accountable even more than those that aren't in leadership. And so let's approach leadership with humility and recognize that God's appointed them for our benefit. But like I said, at the same time, treat them with humility. There's a lot that they have to deal with. No, not have to deal with. I should probably say that they are blessed to be able to serve God for. But at the same time, we should pray earnestly. Pray just consistently for our leaders, that they can continually, faithfully proclaim the word of God. Boldly do that, and to shepherd his flock with wisdom and integrity, as the scripture lays out. It's an important part. The churches are exactly what he's speaking towards. So there's that. Practicing radical hospitality, finding contentment in Christ alone, and having humility and praying for your spiritual leaders and being grateful for those spiritual leaders of your past. And there you go. And that wraps up Hebrews 13. That wraps up all of Hebrews, as the author ends with a benediction, and I'm going to read that again, and that'll be our closing for today. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." God bless you guys. Tomorrow we are in our next episode. If it is tomorrow, you're able to join me, or in just a moment, however you're listening in, we are starting down a new road, and we'll be in Galatians. Galatians in our next episode. Looking forward to it already. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media, or by word of mouth. Join in. Let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.